Welcome to Her Comeback, Transforming Your Life After 50. I'm your host, Michelle Thompson. If you've ever whispered to yourself, there has to be more than this, you are in the right place. This show is for women over 50 who have hit their breaking point and are finally ready to stop going at it alone. You've tried the self-help books, the vision boards, the positive thinking, but you're still stuck. And here's what I know. You're not broken. You just need the right support, and that's exactly what you're going to find here. Each week, I'll sit down with incredible women who have transformed their lives. You'll hear their real stories, the messy middle, the breakthrough moments, the practical steps that they took to create the lives that they love. Because your lowest moment, it can be your launching pad. So if you're done settling and ready for your comeback, stay with me. Let's discover how other women have made it happen and how you can too. Are you ready? This is Her Comeback.
We are so lucky and fortunate to have with us Annie Meehan. She is an international speaker and author, and just so exciting. So Annie, just tell us a little bit more about yourself before we get started here.
Yeah, so I'm Annie Meehan. I live in Southwest Florida most of the time, in Central Florida part of the time. I'm a CSP, which means I'm a certified speaking professional. I've written 11 books. I'm mentally starting my 12th. And more than anything, I do work that really shows people how to heal mentally, emotionally, and physically so they can live the most successful life they ever imagined, whether that's in relationships or it's in health or it's in their career or earnings or whatever they want. That's what I
got to
do. Great stuff.
Awesome. And you also have a signature talk, a trademark about being a pineapple person. Tell me about that.
Yes, I am known as a pineapple person. In fact, somebody last week Googled pineapple person and they're like, it's you. You are the pineapple person. I'm like, yes, I am. So I really am always looking for two things, Michelle. I'm always looking for easy ways to learn and teach. And I'm also looking for ways to be memorable and to spread kindness. And so what I thought about is like kindness, it's like just say be kind, it's easy to forget. But if I can give you a visual, and so the pineapple became our symbol, our vision. So a lot of people have heard the pineapple poem, be a pineapple, stand up straight, wear a crown, be sweet on the inside. So it's kind of cute and it's a poem and it kind of reminds us to be kind. But I took the poem and I dug into it and said, how do we take the poem and make it a principle? And what happened was that the first thing is stand up straight, and just that simple movement from down to up with confidence. First of all, as a woman, I always say, like, put your shoulders back, be confident in yourself, look people in the eye, own your space, take up space, but also with the value of people. Instead of looking down at our phone to text, we look at people. And it literally transforms relationships, professional and personal relationships, by just looking up. So somebody called me a pineapple, then they taught me the poem, then I turned it into a principle, then I wrote a book about it, then people heard about it and invited me to do a TED talk, and today I'm kind of known as the pineapple person, and you may see me in a pineapple onesie or eating a pineapple cookie, but I'm always trying to remind people one simple symbol of a pineapple reminds us, slow down and offer more kindness. So,
yeah. Awesome. I love that. I love that. So as we look at women and as we aspire to do all the many things that we're trying to do in our lives today, how can a woman be the exception as they become all they're meant to be and then try to support others as they climb too? How can we do all of that?
Absolutely. I always think about like one word and it requires slowness. I think slow to go fast. So you got to slow down and think intentionally. How do I want to show up today? How do I want to show up, period? Then how do I want to show up for other people? And then how do I want to move forward? So I feel like my growing up years or my climbing years, I spent 9 years in the financial world on the institutional trading side. And my floor that I worked on was about 440 people and 20 of us were women. So really strong, successful, male-dominated space. And I would watch women shrink, including myself. I was in my 20s and watch me shrink. And right, I think being the exception is like deciding to rewrite any stories that don't serve us. So that a man has more worth than us, that a man deserves to be paid more than us. I remember one woman I met there, she had worked there a long time. And she said in 1979, she was called back into the boss's office. And he said, listen, I'm going to give all the guys a raise, but are you okay if I don't give you a raise? And she said, well, how come I don't get a raise? And he said, well, you're not married and you don't have any kids, so you don't really need a raise. And she said, okay, that makes sense. And she didn't get a raise. And today she says, what in the world? And that was 1979. I know some of your listeners probably weren't even around in 1979, but for those of us that are middle-aged that were, it crushes my heart. And so part of being the exception for me is one of the first things I tell people is be honest. And I said, I'm not talking about lying. I'm talking about the stories that we tell in the back of our head or out of our mouth that don't serve us. Well, Michelle's better than me. Well, John's married. Well, they have greater success. Well, they're smarter. They have more degrees. All of those stories that do not serve us. Wait a minute, that's not true. Michelle might have that gift and John might have that one, but I have value too. And so part of being the exception for me was transforming my brain, transforming my thoughts. And whether I ever spoke them out, other people could look at me and say, Annie's so confident. But if inside I was like, I'm not measuring up. I'm not as good as this person or that. I don't deserve to be paid as much. It was not serving me. So part of being the exception for me was filtering. I think of a strainer, filtering every thought I have, catching captive every thought, right? Having that strainer and saying, does this serve me or does it make me suffer? Does this make me stand out or does it make me play small? And I think as women, that, well, I'll get to me. It's not my turn. Or maybe they deserve it more. Maybe they're better looking. Maybe they're smarter. Maybe they're more successful. No. I have great value. We all have great strength and great value. So be the exception is kind of seven keys. But the main one I would say to women is think about what you're talking about to yourself. When you look in the mirror, do you just think, oh my gosh, I am so beautiful? Or do you rip yourself apart? And one thing I learned on my journey was I did not like myself as pretty much the first 20 years of my life. I didn't like how I looked. I didn't like who I was. I didn't want to just be like other people. I wanted to be anyone else. And when I decided I'm kind of amazing, not more amazing than anyone else, but amazing. Each and every person has so many gifts and so much to contribute. Like I showed up differently. I knew that I deserved to take up space. So people call me short. I call myself fun size, but I take up space. I intentionally stand with my shoulders back up straight. I speak up. I know that I have something worth being heard. And I think it's easy to get in your mind, nobody cares. Nobody will listen. That's stupid. Nobody else. You deserve a voice. I had to learn. I deserve to be seen. I deserve to be heard. I am not the worst thing that ever happened to the world. I have gifts, and though I'm messy and complicated and silly, and I might not be everybody's cup of tea, I have value. And that, Michelle, for me, especially when I'm working with women, I say, ladies, stop telling yourself horrible things. Stop spending so much time on this and spend time on this and on this and contribute. And even if you think what you have to say doesn't have value, someone else needs it. And it just shifted me. It really made me be the exception. Don't follow. Don't stand behind. Don't doubt yourself. Even if I laugh at you and think, oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, who cares? You said it, move on. Right. And so being brave, rewriting stories, being kind to myself, gentle to myself, courageous, bold, authentic, all of those things serve me very much. As a speaker and a coach and a writer, people will say, you're the real deal, aren't you? And I'm like, 100%. I don't even know how to be fake. I told someone the other day, I'm like, I wish I could sometimes, but I don't have it in me. So that's what
No,
being the exception.
that's so true. And I definitely, in the time that I've known you, Annie, you're so authentic. It's just like, I love it. And it's just every conversation with you, I just feel like it's always from the heart. And it's just, I think you're fabulous. So as life shows up, we all know we have the bad days, the tough times, and the disruptions come into our lives. How do you yourself manage those disruptions and not let that define you or and soar above those things that happen?
Yeah, it seems like they've been happening. I was talking to a friend this morning. I said, since I moved to Florida, I'm like, never mind. Pretty much my whole life, I've had disruption. So yesterday, I was doing a Facebook Live. I was so happy. I had a friend visiting from Minnesota. We're riding in the golf cart. Greg's able to drive again since his triple bypass. We're going to church. I am just so happy. I'm doing a Facebook Live. Life is so glorious. And literally, it ended. And my husband goes, I think something's wrong. And he's like, we got to stop. And I jump off the golf cart and I have a flat tire. And we're just like, oh my gosh. We can't even go 5 minutes from our house for to church. And I say that to say I learned to laugh at myself. I learned to not take myself too seriously. My faith is the most important thing to me. And so I start my day with God, and God says, I have good plans for you. And I'm like, If you could help those come a little quicker, I am ready. Like, come on, could I have like 3 weeks of no disruptions? Intention. I go back to intention, starting my day in quiet, starting my day in prayer, having really beautiful, intentional relationships. Yesterday, before we were headed to church, I have a very dear friend that I've been friends with for 40 years here visiting me. She just left this morning. Beautiful, that intentional time. My husband and I went for a beautiful 2 mile walk. He can walk 2 miles again. Like, I try to shift focus, right? Like, so there's always, sadly for most of us, there's always a list of things that aren't going how we imagined, that aren't living up to our expectations, that are not a smooth, straight line from I start a business, I have 1,000 customers, right? But if I say to myself, Annie, it doesn't really matter. So what? So there's another disruption, another flat tire, another health concern, another, I have a sister in the hospital right now. Just these things that keep coming up. And I think, what is the part you can do? What is the part that I can do to spread love in the midst of the disruption? How do I keep my sense of humor? How do I keep loving on the people God has given me to love or my audiences? How do I shift from this disruption I'm in into what next? So when I wrote the book Choose to Soar, kind of inspired by Hurricane Ian, the literal disruption, what I thought about is that every day we get to decide how we show up, Michelle. And like when people say, who are you? Do I lead with all the tragedy and trauma that I've gone through? Or do I think I'm this extraordinary speaker that gets to travel the world and make people inspired and show them light and love in the face of their own challenge and disruption? And so I try to focus on the good. I try to be grateful. I try to be generous. I try to laugh at myself and say, well, isn't that ironic? Because I was talking about what a fabulous day I'm having and how fabulously beautiful it is in Florida. And then, boom, flat tire. And I always go back to Job in the Bible and like all the things that happened to him. And he's like, I'm not giving up. And God's like, are you sure? You know, like I just feel like all of us have things that will come against us. But if we decide, I will look for the good, I will be the good, and I will spread the good, it changes you. You can't help but soar above. And, you know, I get to go speak to realtors on Wednesday. I get to have a friend here. My husband's healing. Like, there's so much good in the face of also a lot of disruption, but I'd rather look for the good. So that's how I guess.
I as I hear you talking about that, I just hear the gratitude. So, how much do you think that gratitude is able to play into kind of being able to go with it with the disruption? How do you see that?
Yeah, 100%. And so what I would say is that I am a person that when a lot of people say, why me, God, about tragedies that come at them, I always say to God, why me? Why do I get to live at the beach? Why do I get to have a husband that's loyal and loving to me? Why do I get to have 3 healthy adult children? Why do I get to have a career that I love and travel the world and make an impact? So I always think if we're going to question our blessing, why do we not question, or if we're going to question our burden, why do we not question our blessing? Like, who are we? So, yes, gratitude's a huge part of it. I also totally know whatever we focus on expands. And I meet so many people that get stuck focused on a disruption and then it expands and all we see is what we lost. But I really try to broaden and focus on what did I gain? I gained a friend through that. I gained compassion. I gained connection, community. And so I say gratitude, yes, be grateful for what I have and then live beyond it. So for me, it's about gratitude and then generosity. So I am grateful for what I have, but then I ask, how can I expand? So my dear friend that was here had just lost her mother recently, actually the day my husband went in the hospital. So I couldn't be with her for the funeral. And I said, when I can, I'm so sorry I can't be there. She's been such a dear friend and she was there when my mom died last December. When you can come visit us. So she came to the Villages, which is where we live at this moment. And I said, what do you want to do? You want to go out dancing? So we went out dancing. You want to go out for drinks? No, not really. I want to go out for ice cream and I want to go dancing. So gratitude first, but then beyond. So then go do something for someone else, which really helps me shift because she's single and she just lost her mom. And her mom was like my mom who struggled with mental health and addiction and depression. And so I gotta go love on her, and we got big sundaes, and we giggled, and you know, we forgot to take pictures, and you know, we joke about getting out of the car is painful. And so, yes, first being grateful for what I do have and how far we have come, and how every day is a gift, but then asking, how do I make this day meaningful by loving on someone else and encouraging someone else? So that's
That's great. Awesome. I love that. So you mentioned a little bit about climbing the ladder, so to speak, that everyone talks about in the corporate world, with it being so male dominated. You've also talked about, having the confidence that yes, you deserve to be that, to get that promotion. You have value and all the things that you bring to the table. Is there anything else you can share about that? Or maybe there's some women out there that are thinking, it's just really hard for me to speak up and to say my value and to really bring verbalize that. What suggestions might you give them? Anything else you could tell them?
Yeah, I just thought of something as you asked, Michelle, is that one really important tip for all women is find one really good friend. Just one. You don't need 20, just one really good friend. One really good friend that tells you the truth, the ugly truth sometimes, but the truth. One really good friend that will laugh with you and at you when you make a fool of yourself, that you can call and say, "Oh my gosh, I spoke up and everyone thought I was an idiot. Oh, who cares? Do it again tomorrow." But and you need an ally. You need somebody to talk through that with. And this girlfriend actually that was visiting, we used to do walking therapy at the Mall of America. So every Monday night we'd meet for 4 hours and we'd walk and we'd talk. We wouldn't spend money, we just walk and talk. And it was so good. We'd talk about our hopes, our dreams, our embarrassments, our struggles, support each other, encourage each other. So first, find a really good friend. Second, just do it. There is a lot of statistics about this. I don't want to quote wrong, but I know that men, it's somewhere between 20 and 50% of what the requirements are will apply. Though, if they have 20% of what it says, they'll put their name in the hat. Women are about 80% and higher before they put their name in the hat. We got to shift that, ladies. Come on, ladies. Put your name in the hat. Get rejected. Like I tell people, my favorite hobby, HR directors don't love me for this, but is applying for jobs because it builds confidence. It actually builds confidence. And I don't even always want the job. I want to know that I know how to answer a question when I'm nervous, when I'm intimidated, when I'm. So it's a great practice to put your name in a hat for a job less qualified and more qualified, and just to practice to build that muscle, right? So anything we do reps on repetition, we get stronger. So I like to apply for jobs, but I often applied for jobs in the financial world that I was not qualified for, and I often got them. And I think the reason why is because I spoke clearly and confidently, learning language, learning your voice. I sometimes want to work with people just on how to articulate, how to look up, how to answer a question confidently. Because a confident answer, right or wrong, is more received than I think it's this, or even if you're more right. So being confident, having your posture, having your voice, doing some self-affirmation of I deserve to be heard. I deserve to speak up. I deserve to. My daughter's meeting with her company. It's in the construction field, and she got invited into the roundtables, kind of with the CEO. And at first, she's like, "I don't know why I'm going," or "That's not my position." And she's like, "Now they're like asking me," and she goes, "I kind of just want to listen." And now she's speaking up more and more. Find a mentor inside your workplace and say, "I do want to climb the ladder. I got 5 promotions in 9 years in the financial world, but I looked. Always look for the helpers. Look for the mentors. Oh my gosh, Michelle seems really kind. Wow, she's an executive. I'm going to see if she'll go to lunch with me. I'm going to learn from her and say, I'm grateful for the job I have, but I see myself going somewhere. What are some tips? What are seek advice, seek wisdom, seek encouragement. Also, 20 minutes with a mentor is plenty. Don't always ask them for an hour because their plate's pretty full, but could I get 20 minutes with you? Can I buy you a cup of coffee and talk to you for 20 minutes?" So seek advisors, get a great ally friend outside because you're going to make a fool of yourself. And some people are going to think you're goofy. Who cares? Go to that friend and say, "I think I screwed up today." Okay, go back again tomorrow. Put your name in the hat even when you're not qualified for practice. And also, you might be surprised you might get that promotion. Get volunteer. I'm such a huge believer in, when they sign up to paint a house for Habitat for Humanity, get involved in that. Do the things that your company does. Get involved, volunteer, lead something, lead a lunch, go to the learning lunch when there's opportunities to learn. Continue to learn, grow, read. They say leaders are readers. I believe that leaders are learners, and I think we all learn differently. So you can read books, go to a conference, listen to something, lead something. I started my own groups, whether it was Bunko or Bible study or women's leadership. I would just start things and invite two or three people and expand a networking group. What do we have in common at lunch? Different opportunities. So lots of different things. But more than anything, believe in
Awesome.
yourself and put yourself out there, even if you make a fool of yourself. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's oh, I think that's awesome. I think that's great advice. And when that imposter syndrome slips in, when you have that moment of like, oh my God, what am I doing here? What do you tell yourself in those moments?
Okay, will you play a little game with me, Michelle?
Sure,
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm going to make you think on your feet. So I want you to answer three questions and it's worth 4 points for you, okay? Now I
Okay.
know it's your interview and talk show, but let's see how you do on this because I always think it better to show than teach people, right?
Yes.
Rather to tell, to show than tell. So I want you to tell me
Yes.
what's your favorite author or book, just off the top of your head, the first thing you think of.
Mel Robbins.
Okay. Who's your favorite speaker? It could be somebody you saw live at a conference or on a TED Talk or somebody you listen to on a podcast.
Simon Sinek.
Okay. And what's your favorite quote? Like, what's someone you quote or something you like to quote?
Yeah, if you want things you know have never had, you got to do things you've never done. I think
Yes.
that that is anonymous, but I love that.
Okay, beautiful. So what I like to tell people is when I'm doing a women's leadership, I do a lot of mixed audiences or all men sometimes, but when I'm doing all women, I always start with that pop quiz, and there's a reason. Because remember, I told you it's 4 points, but three questions. What I'm
Yes.
looking for, ladies, is I'm looking for you to quote a woman, to tell me a woman speaker, and to tell me a woman book. And really, the fourth bonus point is to quote yourself or your book or your speaking. And here's why, ladies. I love men. I have an amazing husband, two beautiful sons, but I watch women tell me they're empowerment women, they're leadership women, and then I watch them quote male after male after male, recommend a man's book, a man's speaker, offer men more to speak than women. I thought the speaking world would be very different than the financial, and there'd be more women than men, and women would get paid equal, if not more. That's not true. There's definitely more men than women, and men are offered more money to speak than women, and men demand more money than women. Women will speak for free 100 times more often than men, 90 times more often than men. So what I like to teach, Michelle, just like you did, is it's not a right or wrong answer. It's an awareness. Oh my gosh, I love that you said Mel Robbins. Like, let's elevate women. If I'm a woman that teaches women to lead and to be empowered, then I better be speaking highly about women. I better be saying, do you know my friend Michelle? She's amazing. You should see her speak. You should get her on your podcast. You should coach with her. Because if we are referring and if we are recommending and if we are elevating, then let's do it with women. And I can't take 100% credit for this, though I've become more and more aware of it over the last 20 years. But when I wrote my second book, Be the Exception, what happened is that I was coaching with someone. I always have a coach when I write a book because my brain is broad and I sometimes need a little focus and dyslexia. And she said to me, you have had so many amazing quotes, so many nuggets that I've written down that you've said, Annie, over the 6 months we worked together. And she said, can I put some in the book? Can we add these to the book? I think they're beautiful. I said, oh yeah, that'd be great. I love quotes. And she said, do you want to add other quotes? And I said, absolutely. And she is in the publishing world. And so she said, do you know that most quotes in books are dead white men? And do you know even the books that are written by women are dead men? And there's some extraordinary male speakers out there and authors and coaches and all the things. I agree. But if we do not start elevating, the reason we have imposter syndrome is because we don't hear enough women elevated. The reason we have imposter syndrome is because I myself go, Michelle's okay, but I'm better. Because we are not elevating each other. And when we start to go, oh my gosh, I am an amazing coach, but you got to meet my friend Michelle because I'm kind of my plate's full. She's amazing. When we start elevating each other and we start lifting up other women and referring other women, and as women meeting planners and as women executives, we hire women and we don't bully women, we celebrate women. You're balancing family and your job. Congratulations. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to be flexible with you, not because you're a woman, but because I want you to be successful in my company. And that's what I really love to show women is to have that awareness. How are you speaking about other women? How are when someone says, "Hey, Michelle, do you know any great speakers? Do you know a great book?" Are we talking about other women? Because trust me, men are referring men. And occasionally there are male allies that are referring women, but for the most part, they are referring other men. And I know because I hang out with a lot of professional speakers and I know who they refer. And I work with them and I'll ask them. Well, I told this. And so as women, if you want to get over imposter syndrome, start to value yourself and other women, start to elevate and speak highly behind women's backs. I always say, I spoke about you behind your back. But let me just tell you, I did it in the most beautiful way. Let's do that.
Awesome.
I
I
guess I'm
love
going to
that.
break the imposter syndrome. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you for that. I mean, gosh, just so inspiring. So I will be looking up and finding my favorite quote from a woman now. You better believe it.
Mine is Maya
Good
Angelou. It
speaker.
is not what we say or what we do, but it is how we make people feel that they will never forget. And that is Maya Angelou, a beautiful woman. And so there's so many great quotes. So I can't wait to hear next time I see you. What's your favorite book? Your favorite quote? Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you might say to, say, a woman like us in our 50s that they've just always done things one way, the same way, and they're just in a little comfort zone and just really afraid to step out and try something, to do something different, be something different? Anything else you might say to a woman in a spot like that?
Yeah, for sure. I always pretend to be in my 20s, but I think I'm 28 and all my kids about age me, but I'm 57. And the first thing I thought of, Michelle, is give yourself a lot of grace. You are extraordinary. You have survived over 50 years in this challenging world. Many of you have bore children. What a miracle. Many of you given them deep roots, and now you've given them wings to fly, and now you miss them and you wonder what your identity is. Give yourself a lot of grace and dream, dream big. Imagine if tomorrow's my last day, have I made a big enough impact? Have I encouraged enough? Have I loved enough myself? And one thing I know about middle-aged women is there's so much, oh my gosh, 20-year-olds telling us how to be skinny and how to be this and how to be that. And just like, really, I have had 5 pregnancies. Please don't tell me to do my eating my calorie deficit. Like, stop it. You need to intermittent fast. Stop it. Like, what about my value as a human being? So first, grace. Second, dream. And third, get with, again, a coach, an ally, an encourager, and say, this is what I'm at this job. I've been here 20 years. I've been here. My kids have grown up, wherever you're at in your life. But I kind of have this vision. I kind of have this, and share it out loud. Articulate it with somebody who is safe before you start putting it into practice. But the world is your oyster, is what I want to say. But really, just be, get support, dream big, and imagine what is my legacy. I always say every day we're building our legacy. So you're at middle age and there's a lot of noise in the world that you're irrelevant or you're going to gain 50 pounds or you're going to have menopause and be miserable or you're not good enough. Well, that's not a true story. You're extraordinary and you have great wisdom and the world needs it. And we need face-to-face connections. So get off social media and go knock on a friend's door. And when they say their house isn't clean, say, I do not care. I love you and I need quality time with my girlfriend. So that's my encouragement is just keep dreaming and being all you can be and get Michelle as your support if you need it. So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, thank you. That is so awesome. Inspiring, inspiring. So, Annie, for someone who would love to reach out to you or connect with you in some way, where can they find you?
Yeah. Annie Meehan is my website and I'm kind of all over social media, but my website's where I have my most videos and encouragement, YouTube, yeah, anniemeehan.com. I've got videos, I've got topics, I've got books. I try to use my written and spoken word every day to encourage, inspire, and show people to believe in themselves and to rewrite those stories that do not serve them because the world needs them.
Oh, thank you so much. What a gift. I really appreciate you joining me today and being part of my show. Thank you, Annie. I look forward to seeing just how high you will soar and where you'll go. So,
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you.
yes. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I am truly grateful that you chose to listen in, and I hope that this conversation sparked something meaningful for you. Please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review. It helps other women to find us who need to hear these stories too. And if you know someone who is ready for their own comeback, share this episode with them. I'd love to connect with you beyond the podcast. Visit me at hercomebackpodcast.com. That's hercomebackpodcast.com to learn more about how we can work together. I have a gift for you. Get your free copy today of 5 Powerful Shifts to Reclaim Your Life. Remember, your comeback story is waiting to be written. The question isn't, can I transform my life? The question is, are you ready? Let's go.